I have tried over the years when I have been in the wrong to come back to you and say, you know, I handled that really badly.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, it's Mother's Day. So we thought, who better to have on the podcast than our moms? So my mom, Jackie, is here, and Kate's mom, Marcia, is with us as well. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this could either be the best idea ever, or it might not be a great thing at all if they tell too many, like, awkward stories.
I know. We'll see how it goes. So you guys have parented us, obviously, our whole lives. What are some memories you have of us growing up, Mom?
I have one memory of Brittany on Halloween where she dressed up as Spiderella, and she was catching the bus at my parents' house. They lived down the street, and they got her on the bus, and she missed the bus, and I look out, and Brittany is running behind the bus in her Spiderella costume.
I remember this vividly as one of my most embarrassing moments, because when I got on the bus, I finally convinced the bus driver to stop.
I was going to say, stop. It's all eight legs.
And then I finally got on the bus, and no one else was dressed up.
Oh, no.
So that was a really good time for me, let me tell you.
Double embarrassment. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right, Marcia, what about you?
So I'm going to take you way back, Kate, to right after Emily was born. My girls are 21 months apart, and so I was about 6 to 8 weeks postpartum, and Katie was my little shadow that day, and everything was, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. So at one point in time, I just kind of looked at her, and I said, why don't you call me Marcia? So later that day, as my husband got home from work, we kind of high-fived each other because I was on my way out to an exercise class, and he was going to take over the mommy duties. Mm-hmm. And so when I got home after class that night, he says to me, so what kind of a day did you and Kate have? And I said, well, it was fine. Why? And he said, because I was getting her ready for bed tonight. And she looked at me and said, where'd Marcia go?
I love that.
So she's always been very articulate and a little bit of ahead of her time.
Well, I think any mother who has ever had a toddler follow them around and you're just like, oh my goodness, how many more questions can you possibly ask?
Yeah, I'm
trying to remember if my kids have ever called me by my first name.
I'm in that phase right now. And because my daughter hears me on the journey, my husband has told her my first name. He's like, that's Brittany. And now she thinks Brittany and Mom are two different people, which is really confusing for her. So that's been a fun one. But she hasn't actually called me by my name officially.
That's hilarious, though. She thinks your on-air personality is different.
Yeah, she's like, that's Brittany and that's Mom. And I'm two different people now. So,
aw, sweet Stella. I love that.
I know. All right, so this is a tough one. What has been the hardest thing about parenting through the different age groups of raising us? Because now we're all adult women, and so, you know, we're in a different phase of parenting, but you are still our parents. So what's that been like over the years?
Well, Brittany was a joy. As a child, Brittany was like the perfect child.
I loved her well.
This is why I never had another child.
She's so perfect.
She really was a joy to be around. We did everything with her. I worked a weird schedule, so my husband was home with her at night, and she was in bed when I got home. So we spent the mornings together before I went into work. But the adult part has been the hardest for me to see her gain her independence and become, she's a wonderful person, but it's a different person.
Right.
And yeah. That's been a little hard for me.
It's hard to let those strings go sometimes, like those connections.
Especially because, you know, I don't live at home, like in the same area anymore. And now I have my own daughter, and I'm already watching her just from like an infant in like the last few years change and develop this whole new personality and become like this independent toddler, but also I'm like, and she's only 2.5, so I'm already noticing those changes.
Yeah, no, I definitely can identify even just a little bit with that. Like, my kids are teenagers, my stepdaughters are young adults, they are getting ready to be 24 this year. Yeah, I think I've apologized to my mother more in the last 5 years of my life, actually, since parenting older children.
Wait till I have a teenager, then you'll get the phone calls.
It's been wonderful.
Oh, she's like, I feel validated and vindicated. All right, Mom, what about you? What has what are your struggles, or maybe the things that have been the hardest about parenting through those situations?
Well, I think the thing that I have learned most as the mom of adult daughters now, one thing that has helped me is I read the book by Jim Burns on Keep Your Mouth Shut and the Welcome Mat Out. And yeah, I read it twice and I listened to the podcast and I'm still learning. But for me, looking back over the years, I think it's been difficult to have discernment sometimes about how to parent you through the challenges that you were having.
Yeah.
For instance, as a teenager, as a young adult, when we, you know, disagreed on things.
Yeah.
But the thing that has helped me during those times is I remember the story of a friend of ours. His mom, they lived on the Jersey Shore, and when she would take them to the beach, she would give each of her four sons a rope that was the length of what they could handle for their height and their weight. And if she saw them getting a little too far out into the waves, she would kind of pull that tether back in and kind of keep tabs on them. So just having the discernment as you were growing up from like your preteen years into the teen years, just understanding what you could handle emotionally and mentally, because let's face it, your brain wasn't developed yet. My brain wasn't developed yet when I had kids, because I had you at 23, your sister at 25.
Yeah, and what is it? Adult brains are not fully developed biologically until age 25. So really, it's kind of crazy that we start these families and then we're having kids.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what we're doing.
Yeah, so we definitely grew up together in many ways. But
it's so hard, too, to know when to, like, pull that rope. Like, when do you need to, like, hey, you might need some rescuing in this situation. Or, like, hey, I need to let you fall and, like, suffer the consequences in a way that's, like, still, like, safe, basically.
Well,
and especially if you are a personality like me, I'll just be the first to raise my hand in the room. I am a strong personality. If you haven't yet learned that about me, you might know that about me now. But, and yeah, we butted heads a lot when I was younger, and I think that's gotten way better now
in my
adult years, probably. But it's funny because, and bless her heart, I have a 15-year-old daughter now that I love her dearly. Let me just preface this by saying that. She's amazing and one of my best gifts, but it's so funny because I'm like, oh, I understand now why you would say the things that you said. And I was like, oh, that's where that comes from. So it's interesting how God gives you perspective through the different stages of parenting. And yeah, I guess the one thing to remember in all of this is we've never arrived. Like, even when I'm however far apart we are, you'll be 100 and something and I'll be in my 80s. You'll still be. That'll be the first time we've ever done that.
Every stage is like a whole new level of growth and parenting and relationships, because like you said, you've never done that. I've never had a toddler before. I'm like, the first time I have a five-year-old, it'll be the first time I have a five-year-old. So
there's a lot of grace needed when it's like constantly changing like that for ourselves and for our kids.
Well, and it's sad that the firstborns are always the guinea pigs.
Yes.
And you know, the only children are always the guinea pigs.
In my head.
Yes.
The one, the only, the good, the bad, and
the ugly. According to your mom, you did it so great. She didn't need to have anybody.
She did.
Pat yourself on
some
the back
props
for that
there,
one.
Yes. So what do you, speaking of grace, what do you wish you knew about parenting earlier on, or what do you feel like you need to give yourself grace for now?
I feel like I didn't realize that kids grew up so fast, I guess. I didn't realize the years would be fleeting so quickly. And I worked a lot. So I did that to provide the best for her. But
Well, to be I don't feel like I don't ever feel like you weren't there for me when I needed you, if that makes sense. Like, anytime I needed you, I knew you were going to be there. And like, I know the younger years were hard, but it also showed me like what a good work ethic looks like, and how to push myself and how to go after what I want. And so,
and probably has helped you now in your stage with Stella too, right? Giving you the grace and the freedom to say, hey, this is something that God has called me to in this work that I do. But there's grace for how you balance that with life, with kids.
And so, we've both been very grateful to have husbands who have been able to help us so that we can go after our careers and do those things. And so I have never thought like I've never I mean it, but I've always seen it as like, look at my mom, like look what she's doing. And I've always valued that. So Well, thank you.
A little bit of therapy right here on the Mom Squad.
And especially as I got older into middle school, like, you were the one that I knew, like, knew my friends, like, knew what was going on. If I had any, like, issue that I needed to work through, like, we worked through that together. And I think that was really, really helpful.
Well, yeah, the dating years were hard because if Amen. I saw a boy that I thought wasn't good for her, but I needed her to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to jump in and say, get away from this person.
That was a fine line for, like, us navigating that. But, like, I always knew that you had my back and had my best interest at heart. So,
yeah. All right, Marcia, what about you?
Well, I think that I had to learn that every day is a decision day by day to do the right thing. And I think that that's when you and your sister would leave the house to go to any event. That's what we would say to you. I know you'll do the right thing.
Every time. Remember who you belong to. Do the right thing. Like, every single time.
I love that.
And, you know, now we say it to the grandkids. Yep. And the remember whose you are becomes the capital W now. Yeah. Thankfully, they all know God, and so it's like, remember whose you are. But yeah, I think what you all were saying, I just recently self-diagnosed myself, well, I guess that's redundant, with ADHD, because I was taking this counseling course, and as I'm going down through the youth crisis questions, I got to the ADHD, and I'm checking off every box, and it's like, oh my goodness, that's why I couldn't work outside the home very well and maintain my home life. And so primarily, I have been a stay-at-home mom and housewife, which has worked for us. We've been able to budget and do that. So I have
And you were also a teacher for a number of years that happened to coincide with our school years, too, and that kind of worked really well with different stuff.
Yeah, but I was that helicopter parent, you know? And so I have great admiration for women like you three that I'm sitting here with that can do more than just one thing at a time. So,
well, and to be fair, I just want it stated clearly that if you are a homemaker and not working outside the home, that you are not only doing one thing. There are so many hats.
You're doing everything.
That you wear. You're doing everything. Very important. In fact, just to give you a little bit of a therapeutic moment here yourself, maybe, I recently took a quiz, and guess what I have?
ADHD.
Except it's not as, like, super high on the hyperactivity part, but it makes sense with my extroverted personality and that kind of, but it also makes sense why I get so stressed about certain things. Like, I'll be pretty easy peasy, and then all of a sudden, the fork in the wrong spot in the drawer will, like, throw me for a loop.
Maybe I need to take this quiz, because that kind of stuff bothers me, too. I'm like, maybe, where's this quiz? Maybe
you got that for me.
Well, it was very telling. And, you know, I think it came back to the fact, too, looking at birth order, I'm the baby of my family. Katie is my firstborn. So the way that I had to parent a firstborn child was different than the way I was parented. Right. And we've had some issues with that over the years, just trying to figure that all out, too.
Yeah. But there's so many multifaceted things that go into being a parent. I think, oh my goodness. And there's so much that comes back to God as our father and how he parents us in our relationships and what that looks like. And it's one of those things where, grace upon grace, because this thing called parenting is super hard. And I could still apologize to you, like, every single day, I feel like, because, it just doesn't get any easier. I kept thinking it would be easier as they got older, but it's been a little difficult.
Well, and on that same note, I have tried over the years when I have been in the wrong to come back to you and say, you know, I handled that really badly.
Which is huge.
That is huge.
Think giving somebody else the needed lesson of what it looks like to say you're sorry in a situation. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that here on the podcast before with a couple of people. Like, I think one of the best gifts you gave me was showing me how to apologize. Because while I'm not always great with my interactions and perfect with my interactions with my kids, I can at least say I'm sorry pretty well.
I'm going to do that now with my 2.5-year-old, because I get so frustrated at lunch sometimes. I know she's just trying to eat in her own way. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I have to be like, I'm sorry. As long as you're eating, that's what matters. Yeah. I'll calm down. Like, mommy, like, or if she hurts, like, if she bonks her head, she'll say she's sorry. And I'm like, no. Like, you don't have to be sorry for getting hurt. That's not how that works. Yeah. But she's picking up on, like, at least the word and kind of, like, the concept of what it means, because we're quick to apologize when we mess up. So,
yeah, for sure.
So what has God taught you guys about being his child through the process of being a mom?
That I'm not perfect, and there is no perfect
yes.
parent.
Amen.
Amen.
And that I have made mistakes in my relationship with Brittany, but God knows that I have always had her best interests mm-hmm. in my heart and has forgiven me and mm-hmm. given me grace for that.
Yeah.
That's such a good one. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, you know, he has taught me that without him, I can't do this. Mm. And even back in the day when the girls were still at home, I remember Emily was having some dry skin issues. And during that time, I happened to be reading in Leviticus. And I came across these passages where in my translation, it actually talked about eczema.
Oh, really?
And it's like, well, thank you, Lord. That's something, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's always been a very practical thing for me to, you know, just say, God, I don't know what to do about this, and to open my Bible, and he has always met me there in his word. So I just need to remember, although in Psalm 127, 2 and 3, where he put the verses together about sleep and children, in the early days, since both of my girls did not sleep through the night yeah. until they were about 3 years old, you know, it's like, Lord, why would you tease me right. about sleep, you know, when my kids aren't doing that? But then in Isaiah 40:11, he also talks about the shepherd who comes and holds the lambs close to his heart and leads the nursing ewes.
Yeah.
And so that always gave me the comfort.
Well, can I just say, like, your faith, I know that you have felt through many years that you have not done this motherhood thing well in some aspects, but I would love to let everybody know how well you have done it, because your faith has been so foundational to who you are as a person that it spills out in everything mm-hmm. that you do mm-hmm. otherwise. And so for me, I've been through a lot of trauma in my life, and you know, not everybody knows my full story, but there's been a lot that has gone on. There was yeah. an abusive marriage, there was a divorce that happened, there's the fallout after that. You know, God has redeemed so much of my story, but if I didn't have the foundation that you provided me and how you were parenting me, I wouldn't even want to think about
right
where I would be.
And I think that's
today.
Such a testament too. I mean, just looking at like both of you, like looking at us, like in all the things that we've been through, like me and my husband had some really serious marital struggles, and the first person I called was my mom mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I knew that she was going to help me get through that. And we are still married today, 12 years, and mm-hmm. it's only by the grace of God because yeah. of all Amen. The stuff that we'd gone through. And without my mom there, like, I don't know. I mean, that's my rock and my support system. Yeah. And so having passed on that faith to us and letting us like walk through that in our own journeys when stuff does hit the fan, mm-hmm. you know, and it is yeah. difficult. Like, where else would we fall if yeah. we didn't have our faith? And that is a tribute to you guys as parents for raising us in that way, to know like we can turn to our Heavenly Father, but also
that was a hard phone call.
Our parents
she called
yeah.
me.
Aww. Yeah, it was a bad one.
I was at
one.
Work.
that was a bad one. So I think for me, what God is teaching me about being His child through being a mom, because I feel like we should answer this too, since
yeah,
we're also
we
moms. Let them off the hook a little bit. I think He's just teaching me about just unconditional love and just patience. Like, no matter how many times I've messed up and come back to Him, even if it's the same mistake over and over again, He's never once like been like, "Well, why didn't you figure that out? This is the third time you've done this," or yeah. whatever the situation is. And so now, even though my daughter's only 2.5, like, she's going to do the same thing, especially at this age, over and over and over again. And I need to remember, like, showing her grace in those moments and letting her grow and develop as her own person is what God has done with me.
Yeah.
And like, just being there open arms, like, to kiss the boo-boos and to like, you know, recorrect her behavior sometimes, but do it in like a loving way. And so patience for sure. And just being there yeah. as much as I can.
Yeah. I think any parent that could say they aren't learning patience in their process, right? There's gotta be something wrong with the way it is being done, for sure. And for me, I probably resonate a lot with that too, Brittany. Like, in fact, let me just tell on myself, like, I've had several moments, even in the past month or so, where I have been convicted of like kind of getting after my kids for doing like, and they're teenagers. Mm-hmm. And so it's that like, we have had this conversation so many times. Da, 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 da. And it's stupid stuff, right? Like,
right?
It's not always big stuff. It's like laundry conversations, or like, I don't know, locking the door when you leave the house and not leaving it wide open, you know, that kind of thing. And we play this song here on the journey right now. It's Evan Kraft, and it's called Chances.
Yes.
And I just think of this every time I hear that song, where the whole song talks about all the chances that God continually gives us, and that there is nothing that we can do to separate us so far from Him that God would just say, well, you did it now. You're in that muck and you're going to stay there. Like, I'm not going to pull you out. He pulls us out every time, and He gives us chances. And, you know, I've seen that over and over again in my own life. So learning how to extend that same grace to my kids and be very realistic with the fact that, yeah, their little brains aren't going to be developed until 25 years old fully. So even, you know, my son, who's going to be 18 at the end of this year, which blows my mind.
Yeah, that's
just
wild.
Crazy.
Mine too.
It's, yeah, he's still developing. He's still figuring this out. My stepdaughters, who are going to be 24, they have not yet arrived either. So, yeah, a reminder that I should probably get 3 copies of that book for myself.
Yes, yes.
Keep my mouth shut and keep the doormat open. Or what is it? Keep your
mouth shut and the welcome mat out.
So that's kind of the stage I'm in right now, too, of balancing all that. So.
It's a hard challenge. And I'm just glad that I know you so that when I get to that phase and we can call our moms and I can call Kate and be like, what is happening?
Brittany's like, make all the mistakes first.
Writing all the notes down right now. Well, if you could give us one parenting phrase of wisdom now that we're moms, what would it be?
A phrase.
That's like a loaded question.
Yeah. Yes. Pretty much enjoy every moment, every age, every stage of their life. Eat dinner together, vacation together, go to church together, worship together, say your prayers together, be an advocate for your child because they're going to need that. There are times, there was a situation where Brittany missed an assignment in school. And I've never been a helicopter mother. I'm not a helicopter mother. I don't have time for that. So I said to her, are you sure you missed the assignment? I promise you, Mom, I was up on this bleacher. We were throwing these eggs down. And he assigned
like
something.
That's like a whole story unto itself.
Yeah. It was like a thing that you put so you don't crack the egg.
Yeah.
It was we weren't like vandalizing property. Yeah.
They were up on the bleachers. They had them in a box. Yeah. And they were cushioned and everything. They were throwing them. He assigned something to the kids that were on the ground. Well, Brittany was up there, so she never heard it.
Yeah.
She never missed an assignment. And she told me, I missed this. He gave me a 0. And I said, if I write this email to this teacher and you're not telling me the truth, you're in big trouble.
I've had that conversation.
So I was not the person that just always, you know, defended her
because
people do things wrong.
They do. Yeah. And you have to suffer consequences. And that's a whole part of parenting too, that again, about like, when is it appropriate to let them suffer those consequences?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there are times when it's like, well, you messed up. And if your teacher is going to have an issue, then, but that was not one of those times.
No.
I'm grateful that she had my back.
And here I thought you were like egging the principal's office.
Right? No,
sorry, I should have explained that. It wasn't a science.
But I do love that. And we did eat dinner together every night as a family. And I know sometimes schedules, especially if you have multiple kids, don't allow for that. But anytime you can get together, I think is so valuable as like a family, because I'm sure your kids not only learn from you and your husband, but probably from each other a lot too.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah, my 3 that are still home underneath the roof, I love watching them converse with each other. They're all pretty good friends and really haven't had much of that like sibling rivalry that some kids go through. And part of it is probably because they've been through hard things. So they have each other's back because of that. But yeah, we learn a lot listening to the 3 of them talk at the table. So dinner time is very effective for multiple reasons at our house. But yeah, Marsha, what about you?
I would say keep an eternal perspective and major on the major and minor on the minors. Mm. And
know the difference.
And know the difference. Yeah, exactly. You know, Katie's room growing up was, how should I put this, Kate?
Come on. Wasn't that bad.
And to me being the otter of the family, and let me explain that, back in the 80s and 90s, Gary Smalley and John Trent, I think it were, that came up with the 4 easier ways of establishing personality categories. We had one of each of us. My husband was the beaver. I was the otter that was ready to party anytime. Katie was the lion, and Emily was the golden retriever because she wanted everything to, you know, everyone to sing the song and be happy.
Yep.
So, you know, it was kind of difficult. Like, I didn't care really how Katie kept her room, but being a beaver, my husband was on her
very concerned about how I kept
constantly. So just you know,
and being a lion, I was like, why does it matter?
I know, exactly. But I think it was the lion personality that has gotten you through the difficult times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So eternal perspective.
Yes, that's really good. Like, what is the consequence here, and what are we doing to like help them get to that eternal end? So,
right.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Yeah, this has been so fun.
We should do it again sometime.
We should. Maybe next year we'll do it. We'll have our girls in here too.
That would be fun.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom.